The political climate in America has changed. We've been given a reprieve, and we have to work together to take advantage of that momentum and effect even more cultural and spiritual change. We can rebuild America. The American Family Association is working to do just that, and when you join with your support, it helps maximize the impact. As our thanks, we'll give you a DVD of biblical financial advice from Rob West called Biblical Stewardship. Please visit afa.net and get started today.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Monday, May the 19th, 2025. In studio with me today is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
Good morning, Fred.
Good to be here.
Before we get to the news of the day, the weather has been the big story, one of the biggest stories, at least, hitting the middle of the country, right, Fred?
Oh, it was a tough weekend. Folks, St. Louis, people in southern Kentucky, I just saw a live report coming out of London, Kentucky.
Yeah.
19 people died across Kentucky because of these tornadoes that hit the area in the weekend. I just saw a very moving interview. It was with a young man there in London, Kentucky. Tornadoes were coming. He managed to get his mom, you know, they talk about get to an inner room somewhere, managed to get his mom into the bathroom, get in the tub there, the most protective area they could get. And he said, I prayed to Jesus. I thought I was going to die at that point. This young man watching this interview, he has staples in his head. I mean, severe injuries. But he gets in there. He said, I was sure I was going to die. And I just prayed to Jesus to save us. And what happened was the debris fell in such a way, the house collapsed, but the debris fell in such a way that he was able to protect himself and his mom from death. Across the street, two people died. Same thing happened. I came in to the office yesterday and looked at some of the images. Like I say, from East St. Louis, some of these other areas, war zones. That's the only way to describe it. Like a bomb has gone off and just hit all of these houses, just obliterated them. It was horrible what happened. As I say, 29 people altogether died. And guys, the news today is not good because another round of these severe storms, tornadoes possible, hail, are headed in the same direction for tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, Kentucky, Missouri. I'm sitting here looking at, I would think Arkansas and Tennessee, and of course, Indiana. It's that part of the country.
Yeah,
going to get hit again. Just, you know, springtime.
Yeah,
you know, and the weather's severe, and the clash between the Gulf moisture and the air coming down, the cold air.
Yeah, and it's this way every year.
Every year,
some years are worse than others. I just know, in our part of the country where our flagship station is located here in Tupelo, Mississippi, it seems like it's been extraordinarily wet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of storms and. So it's just it is a blessing that we do have more advanced warning.
True,
that on is, some of these.
That has saved countless lives.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, sometimes these storms shift in direction. Sometimes they develop more powerfully in a shorter amount of time, and of course, tornadoes are just by their nature unpredictable once they get started. They can jump around. Mm-hmm. And you get these kinds of situations where it'll basically jump across the street. Locally in where the town where I live, just west of Tupelo, I don't know whether it was 10 years ago, whatever, had a tornado that jumped over houses on the same street.
Yeah.
You know, quote unquote, sparing one and then killing people in the other house just over it. It's a very difficult thing to wrap your mind around, but it is just the reality, just like
Okay, the deaths were in Kentucky, Missouri, and Virginia. I didn't realize Virginia got hit too. So anyway, so that you're saying tomorrow's another round for that?
Tomorrow's another round. You know, I mentioned hail, and we throw that in there. But I saw another video from the weekend, and this was a lady in her kitchen, and we were talking about at least golf ball size hail, and it was coming through the window over her kitchen sink, breaking the glass.
Wow.
And just pounding her house. And so, you know, if the tornado doesn't get you, you've got this kind of element that's coming in, doing untold damage to people's roofs, their cars. If they're
flooding,
not,
flooding can be a real problem.
Flooding can
picture.
Be a
Look at that picture. I know we're doing radio here, but I'm showing Ed, and I know you've seen the pictures. But see, these tornadoes, sometimes they'll just sit on the ground for miles and just mow down, like a lawnmower over the terrain, just taking
That's
out
the
houses.
He's looking at.
This is our AFN.net, AFN.net. We are keeping track of this, and you can see some of the images from these terrible storms on the weekend.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, and of course, trailers don't have a chance.
Right.
In those kind of situations, people live in mobile homes. And then really, if you don't have a brick house, and you get a category 3 or 4,
even a wood frame house.
They're not called categories. I'm thinking about hurricanes. What is the F? F is
the
F 3, F 4.
Is it the Fajuda scale or something?
It's just a what now scale?
Isn't it the like Fajuta or something?
Yeah. Okay, it's also scale. An Olive Garden. the prosciutto scale. You can order that with spaghetti if you want to. I don't mean to make light of the situation. It's a terrible tragedy for a lot of these folks in this part of the country who's
Fujita.
It is shortened to F.
Yes.
So F1 tornado, F2. I think it goes up to 5.
I think that's right.
So, but you get an F4, F5, you're talking about 200 mile an hour or plus.
Well, F4 is 207 to 260 miles per hour.
Yeah.
F5 is 261 to 318. I can't even comprehend that.
So that's the winds inside that make up the tornado itself. You know, and so you can see how that, if you got a 200 mile wind headed toward you, you know, towards your house.
Yeah.
I mean, it could blow your house open. That's what happens. It just blows it up.
And a lot of times it will just
explode.
Pressure.
Yeah.
It'll cause the house to explode.
As always, our friends at 8 Days of Hope are on the way.
Yeah.
To do work to help the people who have been.
Their rapid response team does just such great work.
They do.
They will get there quickly. Get tarps on roofs that have, you know, are missing parts of it, so then they can come back and put the actual roof on.
At our story meeting this morning, we have a prayer time, and there was a prayer request from one of our guys that they have a couple here in our home base of Tupelo. They just got back with 8 Days of Hope from California. Kind of doing some of the cleanup work that 8 Days of Hope does.
From the fires.
They just got back, and then they got a call last night. We need you up in St. Louis because they have the big feeding trailers.
Yeah.
So they're on their way now up to St. Louis to help out there. So
they do great work.
Thank God for the volunteers with 8 Days of Hope, because we know what the weather's been like over the last couple of years. It's like endless. There's teams going all the time.
Right.
So we're thankful for 8 Days of Hope and for the folks that volunteer to go out there. Yeah. And they're there for weeks sometimes, some of these teams.
Right.
Next story, Fred.
Well, as we sit here, folks, our president, Donald Trump, is on the phone with Vladimir Putin. Remember last week when President Trump was in the Middle East? We thought there was talk about him going to Turkey to meet with Zelensky, the Ukrainian leader Zelensky, and Russian leader Putin. That didn't happen. But right now, we are told, just before I came in the studio, that President Trump is on the line with Vladimir Putin. Later today, he's going to be talking with Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, trying to bring about the first aim, the first ingredient in this, is trying to bring out a 30-day ceasefire in this horrible, horrible war that we have seen there. This, to my mind, is the first conversation that Trump and Putin have had on this issue. And you know what Trump has had to say about Putin? Does he really want peace? What does he need to bring about a ceasefire? What is he demanding? Apparently, those are the questions that are going to Putin right now. I suppose later today we will get a readout from the White House on the responses. And then, as I say, the Zelensky call also happening. So the president, you remember during the campaign, he said, you know, if I'm elected office, we'll bring an end to this war. It has got to be a frustration for President Trump because we're now, what, 3-4 months into his presidency, and this thing is still going on. There was more bombings on the weekend from Russia. So
a part, from my understanding, part of the hangup here, and I've talked about this on the air a number of times.
Right.
I did not think it was a wise foreign policy approach for the West, being led by Republican presidents as well as Democratic Party presidents, to continue to poke the bear, so to speak, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and continue bringing nations right up to the border of Russia into NATO. After all those decades of NATO, the United States leading NATO as a counterweight to the Soviet Union, leading the Warsaw Pact, that enemy mentality. And I think that part of the hangup here is that Vladimir Putin wants to make sure that Ukraine is never allowed into NATO. And if they have to devastate Ukraine or capture it entirely to provide a buffer between the West and the Russian border, I think they'll do that. So I'm not sure. Maybe this is part of the frustration on the part of President Trump. Is NATO and the Biden administration, they were perfectly willing to antagonize Russia. I'm not saying Russia is off the hook for attacking a sovereign nation, Ukraine, okay? But we've talked about if something similar happened to the United States, we would be taking care of looking out for number one. And my guess is that Putin is saying there have to be guarantees that Ukraine remains neutral if we stop and have a ceasefire or a truce.
Steve Witkoff is the U.S. Special Envoy in this. He was interviewed in advance of this phone call this morning. And he believes President Trump's call with Vladimir Putin will probably be successful. Cut number six.
I believe that the president is going to have a successful call with Vladimir Putin. They know each other. The president is determined to get something done here, and hopefully, if he can't do it, then nobody can.
Who's that?
That is Steve Witkoff, the U.S. Special Envoy. You've seen him, his pictures a lot.
Let me ask you this question. You mentioned readout. You used that word. Or you did, or somebody did. Maybe it was one of the reporters. When a president has a conversation with another foreign leader, in this case Putin, are those phone calls accessible to the news media, or does the White House make a printout, or is that what a readout is of the whole conversation?
No, the media does not hear this phone call.
Okay.
But I would think that our White House spokesperson, Kathleen Leavitt, will have a news conference, her regular readout. They call them readouts.
What is a readout?
A readout is basically, here's what we want the public to know about this phone call.
They'll summarize.
That and spinning for your...
Right.
To give your point of view, put it...
Yes.
Front and center.
Now there have been instances in which conversations, especially during Trump's, the first week of his first term,
right,
there were leaks of the call he had
with Australia
and one other country. So that can happen, but ordinarily nobody has access.
Well, no, I don't think you'd want that. Nobody
right.
who, I mean, you gotta
speak frankly.
Exactly. So, Well, it'll be interesting to see, and we are hopeful that a peace deal can be brokered here between Ukraine and Russia because, man, it's just been a bloody, painful war that's destroyed a lot of the Ukraine. Honestly, I don't know how long I don't know how much of Russia has been damaged. I'm talking about the land and cities and such, but I don't know. It's just like to me, there's dead bodies all over the place. It's like a nightmare for those people.
It's going to cost a lot of money to start repairing that country. There, you know, there are refugees in Poland. And elsewhere.
Yeah. Remember all the people who left, hundreds of thousands, a million.
And do they come home? Do they go home? Are their homes remaining?
Right. So also one aspect of this, sort of the world thought that Russia would capture the Ukraine in a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here we are 3 years later, and the Ukrainian war, I mean, the Ukrainian resistance, as it were, is still, you know, going toe-to-toe with the mighty Russian army. I guess they're not so mighty anymore.
Yeah, and the problem for the Ukrainians is that they are not as numerous as Russia.
And Russia's getting the North Koreans to come help them, too.
Yeah,
they're recruiting mercenaries, so to speak.
Well, Kim Jong-un, I guess, wanted his troops to get some battle experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so President Trump, the big news right now is President Trump is at this very moment on the phone with Vladimir Putin and trying to persuade him to end the war with the Ukraine.
I think what they're trying to do, the White House, give us three things that you want, Putin, to bring us to a ceasefire.
Right.
It's a step-by-step thing.
Right.
What do you need to get us to a ceasefire for 30 days? Then you'll talk to Zelensky and see if they can bring those three priorities together.
Well, and that's part of the problem, too, is that Zelensky, I'm sure Russia is going to say, we're not going to give up the territory we have. And Zelensky has been saying, no, they got to go. They got to leave. And if that's the case, the war continues.
Yep.
So I tell you what, Zelensky, what's his first name?
Is it Vladimir?
Vladimir.
Same as Putin?
No, wait.
No.
I'm sorry.
Zelensky. What's his first name? Do the Siri thing. That's all you got to do. Steve Jordahl does the Siri thing.
Volodymyr.
Yeah.
It's not Vladimir.
Volodymyr.
It's Volodymyr with
Zelensky.
Yeah.
All right. So I know that, you know, there's I'm just going to say this. The politics of it aside, I guess you could say, I have admiration for him. Zelensky, I'm talking about, for this reason. The guy was had no experience in this kind of in leading a country war effort.
Right.
None. He was like Trump. He was a TV star.
Yeah.
Turned president. Right.
Yep.
Comedian. I think.
Former entertainer.
Yeah, and then he became president of Ukraine, and then Russia invaded, and started. You know, and he has held up. How long has this been going on now?
3 years.
He actually played on a TV show, a TV series, Servant of the People, I'm reading Wikipedia, in which Zelensky played a fictional Ukrainian president. I didn't realize.
Ironic.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I know a lot of people have problems. They, you know, with Ukraine's corrupt and all this, and there's a lot of truth to that. I know that. But I'm just talking about just as a person who rose up to the moment to confront the military and rallied his country to keep Russia from rolling in 3 weeks and taking over. Mm-hmm. And they organized a resistance movement that has been phenomenal. We're talking about Russia had one of the greatest, mightiest armies in the world, and they don't even have to ship them tanks across the ocean.
Right.
They just, it's like being Alabama to Mississippi. You just roll in and take over. And the people of Ukraine said, no, we're going to fight. We're going to fight for our country. And they've been, and so that's what I, and you talking about something where you don't take a break. 3 years of 24/7.
Yeah.
Living this, and begging the world for money all the time.
Money and weapons.
Yeah. I mean, you're having to basically travel around with your hand out. Your hat out, which has to be a little bit humiliating. A little bit humiliating.
But it's desperation.
It's desperation for his country. So what do you think I should do? You think Ukraine should just fold and give themselves to Russia?
Here's my perspective on it. It's not about what you should do. It's about what can you do?
Pragmatism over principle.
Yeah. I mean, Russia's not giving up the eastern portion of Ukraine that borders on
that they have control of now.
Yeah, that's on the Black Sea. Okay. They've wanted that for a long time. They've got it. They're not getting it back. Russia will just bleed Ukraine out. So I hate that for Ukraine, but that's the reality on the ground. I think that Zelensky should, you know, try to keep as much of his territory intact as he can. And I think Russia is going to say Ukraine has to remain neutral. If they go over to Europe, we'll invade them again. I mean, if they go over to NATO.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, we're coming up to a break here, but I think most people have heard the big news this morning, came in last night, I guess, about Joe Biden, our former president, has been diagnosed with an aggressive case of prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is very common amongst men, but in this case, it's very aggressive, and it has metastasized beyond the prostate into his bones. And so it's going to require some pretty heavy-duty treatment. They do believe that former President Biden has a type of testosterone that will react well with some chemical treatment. But the question is, there's some question this morning. Okay, we're just getting this news on the weekend of this aggressive case of prostate cancer, the former president. There is some speculation that it was known some time ago, but that Biden has kept this under wraps for some reason. So, again, there's no way of knowing that at this point.
For some reason. Well, what could that possibly be? I'm not making light of the fact that former President Biden, has this aggressive form of cancer. This is very dangerous. It's metastasized in the bones. This is quite normal.
At his age,
uh-huh. It's usually a death sentence.
Yes.
Okay. That I don't want to see that on anyone.
No.
Okay. But my understanding, not being a doctor, but having been reading about this over the weekend, is that by the time this form of cancer reaches this stage, mm-hmm. it usually takes 6 or 7 years. He gets some of the best medical care as president of the United States.
Yes.
In the world. Mm-hmm. There's, in my opinion, there's no way this was missed.
Yes.
That they did hide it because they want he and other. I'm sorry. So we got some sound on this.
Well, we're coming up to.
Take a break.
Yeah.
Let's take our break and we'll come back and continue this conversation. We're talking about, there's so many big stories that happened since last week, over the weekend. We're talking about President Joe Biden, former President Joe Biden has
form of aggressive prostate cancer.
Yes, he has prostate cancer. And it's advanced to and metastasized in the bones, and everybody's wondering how in the world does that happen? Because this is a very treatable form of cancer,
right?
And people who have annual checkups with their doctor, they would discover this uh-huh. a long time ago.
Yes,
because your numbers would be, high enough to say, "Hey, what's going on here?" All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a Preborn Network clinic. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life and doubles a baby's chance at life, which is why Preborn saw over 67,000 babies rescued last year alone. Meet Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation as she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life. Your tax-deductible donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. How many babies can you save? Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, we were talking about former President Joe Biden announced, or at least his spokesperson announced yesterday, that he has prostate cancer and that is metastasized into the bones. So he's evidently had it a long time, a while. It's very aggressive. Well, I say a long time. I don't know how long. I'm not privy to his private personal medical records, except for what he's announced. But just by, putting two and two together, you're going like, there are a lot of questions about how long he's had this.
Yeah.
You know, and you were saying you were going to play something, a clip.
Yeah. Dr. Mark Siegel is one of the medical experts that you see on Fox News a lot. He says he's surprised by Biden's doctors that didn't pick up the cancer earlier, although he says prostate cancer is sometimes easy to miss. Cut number two.
Really, really surprising that it's this advanced at the time of diagnosis. Now, you can miss prostate cancer, but most of the time, regular screening picks it up. A sitting president, I would expect to have advanced screening. Should not be subject to debate what kind of screening. You do a PSA for sure every year on a
president.
Would
a PSA test have picked that up?
Not all the time, but there's other tests that we do that are several different kinds of tests you can do in addition to the PSA. But the PSA would pick it up the majority of the time. If he's diagnosed by somebody feeling a nodule, that's not these days the way we do it most of the time. Also, most of the time prostate cancer is diagnosed without symptoms. It has to get really pretty far advanced usually before you could have urinary symptoms leading towards urinary retention.
Now, you had this, Fred.
Yeah, and we have a policy here at American Family Association. People have what's called a healthy you. So you go every year to your doctor.
It's an annual checkup.
They do blood tests that sort of thing. And with guys.
What we used to call a physical.
Yeah. And with guys, they do a physical exam of the prostate.
Yeah.
And they check it out, and the doctor can feel nodules on it.
Right.
That's a signal you may have a problem.
Right.
And you combine that if your PSA score is climbing.
That's a blood work score. It's associated with your blood work.
Yes. Yeah. If that is climbing, then your doctor will likely say, hey, go to see your urologist, and they may decide to do a biopsy and just to see if there's cancer cells in there. That's why Dr. Siegel is saying you put all of those things together and you can discover the cancer very early, and it's very easy to treat. Some guys will elect, some urologists may say, okay, let's take it out. Right. Then you don't have to worry about this anymore. Others, treatments, I had a treatment called a proton treatment, which was mine was non-aggressive, but proton treatment is a fairly new treatment. Uses protons from a nucleus instead of the electrons, and they're able to pinpoint the cancer. And mine was diagnosed 10 years ago this month, had treatment, and I still have a PSA test every year to make sure everything's still okay.
Ray Pritchard, same thing.
Yeah.
Well, my dad used to say, my dad lived to 93, and he used to say that if a man lives long enough, he's going to have to deal with this issue. Just because most of us now, at least in the developed world, live a lot longer than we used to. And my grandfather, my dad's dad, died of heart issues. He had open heart surgery in the 60s, nowhere near what they're able to do now. And he died, you know, relatively young in his 60s of that. But if you're living to 85, 90, 95, this just becomes part of the physical breakdown. That I should be cautious. Before the break, I was implying that President Biden and his administration probably knew this. I don't know if that's the case. I'm just going by the fact that his clear cognitive issues seemed plain to everyone, but everyone in the administration seemed to play dumb about it. We didn't know anything about it. And so now when I hear this, my first thought is, well, maybe they did know and they didn't want to say anything while he was in office because chances are people aren't going to vote for him.
Yeah.
So suspicious, but I can't make an accusation.
I just know this too. Cancer's everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I'm 62 now and I know more people. You know, you live long enough, you know more people that get sick and die. Things happen, but it just seemed like to me, it's like, is that the perception you guys have, or?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's, you never know if it's just a product of better screening.
Yeah, that's true.
But to your point, the older you get, the more you hear of people dying of old age diseases.
Right.
As, you know, we normally don't think of young people, some kids and young people do get various forms of cancer, but that's not usually what cuts short a life.
Yeah.
But when you get up into our age, hearts begin to, you know, break down, cells begin to break down, you know, all those kinds of diseases that tend to kill you in old age. You're more likely to get dementia, those kind of things.
That's encouraging.
Yes.
That's a good way to start your Monday morning right there, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Ed.
You can try to eat the right things and all that.
Try?
You get what try. Boy, now you're just going complete pessimist here.
I had vegetable soup last night and ate some a side of broccoli, too.
You stay active. I mean, you go, you hit the golf ball.
Yeah.
You're carrying, so you're walking.
Yeah. It's not as active as if you pull your cart behind you, but yeah, it's at least some walking around
there
physical
you go.
Activity.
I'm trying to encourage you here
a little bit. But,
you're going to live for years.
So this morning... So I had vegetable soup last night, and this morning I just canceled it out with some sausage.
Yes.
So I don't know. What do you, huh? You just live life. You can't live life with your taste buds bland, though, can you?
No.
That's not quality.
Is that a life worth living?
Yeah.
Is life worth living?
I think an Italian would know that better than anybody,
once
right?
Once in a while. Every once in a while, because I usually, my wife makes me some eggs for breakfast.
Which were terrible for you in the 70s.
Yes.
They're good for you now.
Yeah. My poor dad. I can remember my poor dad eating eggs made out of what's called egg beaters.
Oh, no.
You remember these?
Oh, yeah.
Fake
little
eggs.
Milk carton looking thing.
Yeah.
And you'd pour it into, and everything was removed from it.
Yeah.
And my poor dad, because he was told, I've told the story here on the air about how I didn't have real butter until a few years ago. Because
margarine?
It was margarine growing up. That's all. And when I tasted margarine growing up, I thought, I don't want to eat this. I had dry toast. If I had toast, it was dry up until 3 years ago. And my wife said, here, you want the rest of my buttered toast? And I took a bite and I thought, what is this? This is amazing.
Where's this been all my life?
So
it was been in the fridge.
So my poor dad, he had egg beaters half his life.
Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s, I think eggs were on the cover of Time magazine as deadly cholesterol.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Of course, it didn't stop Americans, but now, and then in the like 3 years ago, I remember going to the doctor. And my doctor, for an annual physical, like Fred talked about, and the doctor goes, you know, because I got high cholesterol,
yeah.
you know, not crazy high, but high enough.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I'd watch your, maybe your intake. He said, for breakfast, I would have a couple of eggs and some fruit, maybe. and I'm going like, I thought eggs were bad.
Yeah.
No, eggs are good for you.
Yeah.
They're a protein.
Yes.
Well, yeah. let me just say this one thing. Once a week, usually once a week, my wife will make some bacon.
Yeah.
And I have it with my eggs. And to me, that's bacon day. And that's what I call it. It's bacon day. And now I eat my breakfast here at work because if I eat it at 6 or 6:30, by the time I get on the show,
my stomach's
growling
right,
and
right,
it's loud.
Right.
So I cut that a little bit by. And if someone gets in between me and the microwave when I'm going to heat up my eggs with bacon on bacon day,
yeah, yeah.
you will
not
the
pretty.
Day. Not pretty.
Well, you can just, they're going to learn in 20 years
yeah.
from now. They're going to make a major discovery.
That pizza's good for you?
Yes. That's it. Our great minds think alike. Great stomachs think alike. They're going to make a discovery that pizza is actually an antioxidant.
The antioxidant qualities.
Major discovery today. Scientists from Yale University have stated that
stunning antioxidant
that
quality.
Pizza is an antioxidant.
It's amazing what has happened in the last 10 years. And you guys have addressed some of this. What was bad, the doctors are now saying, that's really good.
Yeah.
Like eggs.
Yes.
And not just egg whites.
Right.
We're talking about
whole
egg.
Yep.
And also, we were told for years, skim milk, 2% milk. No, now they're saying whole milk.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't see that news flash.
Oh, no, there's whole milk.
I drank the Blue Top for late years.
You go now to...
Blue Top.
Are you telling me the Red Top was the way I should have gone?
The whole milk?
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I didn't want to do the Blue Top, but I did it for my own health.
Yeah.
But
that's another thing. Because of my dad and his cholesterol. I have low cholesterol from my mom's side. My dad had high cholesterol. She would get skim milk. That really.
Oh, that's water. That's water.
Oh,
don't even give me cereal.
If we were out of regular milk for the kids, I'd get some of my dad's, put it in my cereal, and it was looked gray.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not American.
No,
it's what I look at it.
All right.
So anyway, more dietary talk tomorrow.
Dietary talk.
Tariff talk went away, so we got to have something new to.
At least diet. Our dietary dialogue segment.
Yes.
Isn't going to affect the stock market.
True. Duly noted. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's the name of this show. Tim, Ed, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, some of my favorite movies through the years have involved prison breakouts.
Name one or two.
Alcatraz.
Brother, where art thou?
Clint Eastwood. Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I love that movie, yeah.
They still play that over and over and over again. And Shawshank Redemption in particular is, over time, this guy, prison inmate, who's in there, he shouldn't be, he's innocent.
Right.
But he digs through a wall.
Yeah.
And then he has to go, gets down into a pipe and breaks into a pipe.
Yeah.
And crawls out through this pipe and he's free and he
meets up with Morgan Freeman.
He had a poster on the wall of his cell that covered the hole. Remember?
Yes, of a girl, anyway, so it was, you know, and both of these, we think the Alcatraz, they still debate today whether those three guys, because that was based on a true.
Yes.
You mean the Clint Eastwood movie was based on a true story?
Yeah. We think they got away, but a lot of people say they didn't.
They drowned, shark-infested waters.
Anyway, by the way, you know, Trump wants to reopen Alcatraz and put bad guys there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's planning to do that. Anyway, all of that to lead up to the story that broke on Friday. This is down in New Orleans. And we hear that 10 guys, really bad guys, have broken out of a county jail. Then they start having news conferences on this on Friday afternoon. And we find that they, and you can go, folks, right now to AFN.net, and there's an image dealing with this story, and you will see these guys managed to, I think they got behind a toilet and opened up a wall and got out that way. And there's pictures. You may have seen it this weekend. There's pictures of these 10 guys fleeing out through the loading dock at this jail in New Orleans, got over the fence, and they're gone. Now, they've recaptured three. So as of the moment, there are seven guys. They're bad guys, and they're still on the loose. And everybody's wondering, they're looking at this. 10 guys get out? How did this happen? There's a lot of stuff going on. Former Assistant FBI Director Chris Swecker was on Fox this morning talking about this. Let's have a listen to what he has to say. Cut four.
New Orleans has never been any stranger to corruption, public corruption. Yeah, I think the FBI has to step in. And the State Department of Justice. There has to be an outside investigation. They can't be allowed to investigate themselves. I mean, inherently, these types of escapes, you know, this many people has to have some sort of inside help, mm-hmm. if not at least gross negligence. So they can't investigate themselves. I think it would be a joint investigation with the AG's office and the FBI looking for corruption. They hire locally. So the people that work in these jails have relatives out in the community. They're subject to extortion, intimidation, bribery. That happens from time to time. But this is in the extreme.
Right. Now, here's what we know because the prison officials have told us. These guys managed to get out around 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday. The prison officials said we didn't know about it until about 7 hours later.
When they have the morning check.
When they have the morning check.
Head check.
So they had a 7-hour way to get away. 7 hours.
Head start, basically.
Head start on this. The prison officials are now, they've indicated they believe that these prisoners had help from the inside in making their escape. The Attorney General of Louisiana, not surprised. She is very upset about this, wants a full investigation. How could this happen? How could they get out, get on the loading dock, and then disappear? They do believe that at least some of these guys now have left not only New Orleans, but probably Louisiana. The FBI this morning upped the reward for people call in. It was $5,000 over the weekend. It's now up to $10,000. And like I say, some of these guys are up on murder charges. They were in this jail, which to me kind of looks like the pictures that I've seen is kind of mid-security, not high security. But a lot of folks are asking a lot of questions.
Well, it's essentially like a county jail.
Yeah.
Right, where they're being
It's held. Orleans Parish. I'm sorry. It's Orleans Parish. It is a county jail. And I'm watching a video of them going, the prisoners escaping. They're jumping off a dock.
Loading dock, yeah.
That like a loading dock, I guess, that brings food and supplies to the prison itself.
But if they're on
a video cam, though.
Yeah.
I'm going, like, you said 7 hours?
Yeah, before they were discovered gone.
How do you not have somebody in some
Because they're playing on their cell phones?
That's probably it. I was going to say, how do you not have someone watching your security cameras?
They're playing on their cell phones, I can almost guarantee you. Huh?
Yeah.
That's the world we live in today.
Well, the suspects who were being held in jail over the hole that they dug out, they had written with an arrow pointing at the hole. It said too easy, LOL, but they spelled two TO.
Right.
And I just thought, well,
right.
That's a whole discussion in and of itself.
Yes. And they are, here is the, they are, a lot of them have tattoos. Well, not a lot of them have tattoos on their, one of them has a tattoo on it. He's going to be found pretty quick if he goes to the Walmart.
Catch one of them down in the French Quarter?
Also, well, three or four of them are wearing the orange jumpsuits. So, you know, the prisoners wear. I don't know. These guys are dangerous, though. I mean, just to be running in. And if you have a dangerous criminal running free, and they can go in, they could carjack, they could go in houses,
right.
Of unsuspecting people. But anyway, it's a. But it just makes the. Was this a city or a county?
I think it's like a county. I was talking to Abe Hamilton.
He's from New Orleans.
Yeah, and he said it's just like a county jail.
Okay, because it was a sheriff's office who's talking.
Right.
I showed you the sheriff's office's publicity lady, didn't I?
Yeah. She had her glasses looked like she's doing going to Mardi Gras.
I don't know, was it Friday or Saturday? She's doing a press conference with some of the other, I guess, sheriff's department officials about the jailbreak and how it happened. And
how, what they're doing.
What they're doing about it. And this lady looked to me like she's like maybe 45, 50 or something like that. And she's the spokesperson.
Right.
And she's doing this press conference, and she's wearing these Mardi Gras glasses. Is
That's what
I
they
call,
look like.
That's what I call
big
them.
Big green
like glasses. Clown glasses. Like, yes. Huh? They're green sort of, I mean, they're the kind of, you see at a party.
Yes.
You know, a birthday party or something. And she's you can't listen to what she's saying because she's good. It's very distracting. I don't know who let her go out with clown glasses on
otherwise
to do a press conference about a serious issue.
Otherwise, she looked very, she's dressed professionally.
Yeah.
She had her uniform on and that kind of thing.
She'd done well to put on some. Put on some slouchy clothes and say I was headed out to my grandchild's party and I got called in.
Yeah.
But don't put on your sharp dressed sheriff's outfit, sheriff deputy's outfit, and then put on clown glasses.
Because when I say professionally,
yeah,
you want to make the other people in the county and the state feel confidence.
Yes.
You don't want to wear clown glasses.
And when you look at that, you're just laughing. And you're going, no wonder they escaped. Look at this.
Yeah. So if she does, she obviously doesn't have any friends in the department, because a friend would have said, girl, you cannot go out there with those glasses. Wear your other glasses. Put those on.
You got to. All you got to do is type in New Orleans. Let's see. Sheriff, New Orleans sheriff spokesperson. And I bet you that video of her comes up. Bless her. She's probably good at what she does for all I know, but it was a wrong choice of attire there to do a press conference of that nature. Fred, you don't have any comment here? You're just going to let us dig our own holes.
Here, there she is, right there.
You see her?
Yeah.
Well, now, do a video there. Do a video.
Well, the
oh, is that the video?
That's a picture.
Yeah, that's a picture. That video's on there.
For all, so, okay, oh, look my at goodness.
Her. Yeah, does that not? She looks like she's getting ready. Am I right?
Yeah, I don't know what those are.
To go out to Friday night with the girls.
Yeah. Now, listen, I am no fashion maven, okay? But she looks like, it looks like maybe the glasses that the Riddler would wear in an episode of the old Batman show.
It's hilarious.
So you want people to feel
confident.
It's
not a hilarious moment, no. But it's hilarious to see her.
You want people to feel confidence.
And that doesn't exude confidence in me.
You're dressed, already dressed professionally,
yes,
for your job.
Yeah.
The glasses. Yeah. Listen, the only thing.
And she has a high-pitched voice, too.
What I'm saying is you wouldn't expect her to go out with you. Those are the things you can put on your head that have the little antennas with the little balls on top. And you just go, why, yeah, why are you wearing those? I can't hear you. Over your antenna.
I know. How many, you know, sadly, New Orleans is one of the most dangerous cities in America now.
It is.
Yeah.
It
New
is.
Orleans, St. Louis, per capita, I'm talking about Memphis, Jackson, Mississippi.
Atlanta, probably.
Chicago. I mean, those are some very dangerous places in the interior.
Mm, yeah. All run by Democrats.
Yeah, all run by Democrats. You got that right. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, I know you guys have been wondering what the former FBI director, James Comey, has been up to lately. Well,
He's walking the beach, right?
He took a little walk on the beach the other day, and he comes across some shells, some seashells. And
this happens to me all the time.
He's just amazed by this. Because the seashells depict some numbers, 86, 47. 80, and he's so excited, he puts it out on social media. Look what I've 86 for. Isn't this so cool? Well, some people didn't find that too cool, because 86 in kind of street language sounds, or is
get rid of.
Get rid of. 47. Who is the 47th president of the United States?
Donald Trump.
who happened to fire me.
Yes. So he is under investigation. Apparently on Friday or Saturday, he had a visit from the Secret Service. They want to know. Now, he says, I think initially he said, I didn't think anything of it, you know, 8647.
I didn't know what it meant.
No.
Then why did you put it on the, why did you put a picture up if you didn't know what it meant?
Because, Tim, listen, let me just explain this
explain
to you.
Explain it to okay? I'm a third grader.
I'm going to explain it to you. Okay. When my wife and I go to the beach,
yeah,
we see these kinds of things all the time.
Right.
Crabs are always trying to get secret messages to me. Okay. And yeah, I will walk and I'll see these words right. and these numbers on the beach.
Yeah.
And
they're a mystery to you.
They are a mystery.
And so you want to put them out on social media so if the world can help you understand.
Help me solve this.
You know, this is James Comey, former FBI director who Trump did fire,
mm-hmm.
is posting we're laughing about it, but this is a guy who's posting a picture on his social media page that in essence are numbers that say take out the president.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no election coming up. I mean, this
so politically.
If he had posted this in advance of the 2024
right,
election,
right.
he could explain yeah. and say, I was saying don't let this guy get back in office. But he elected, he's in office. How are you going to remove him?
What did he say in response to this?
I think he said maybe impeachment. Nobody's buying it.
He said, here's a direct quote, I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence.
Nobody.
End quote.
No.
It never occurred to me.
Then why did he do it? If that didn't occur to him, he wouldn't put a picture out on social media. He knew exactly what it meant.
You're not giving the crabs enough credit, Tim. Never trust a crab on a beach.
We'll be back in a moment, people.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.